It is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week here on Golf Exchange, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it is brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick, Eric Compton, who, of course, everyone down here in South Florida has been rooting for all year long, the 28-year-old Miami native, two-time recipient of a heart transplant, and he finished one shot outside of advancing to the final stage of Q School after shooting a one-over par 73 yesterday, his worst score of the week in Brooksville, Florida, in the second stage of Q School. So after making it past stage number one, he falls short of advancing to the final stage of Q School. He shot 70, 70, and 69 in his first three rounds and unfortunately backs up with a one-over par 73 yesterday. Where does Eric Compton go from here?
Well, I think you will still see him playing. I think his story is such that it is sort of touched the hearts of a lot of people, not, you know, no pun intended, of a lot of people, including, I'm going to guess, some tournament sponsors as we go into 2009. I think you will see Eric get some sponsor exemptions early in the year, and then it just is a foisted upon him how he does with those exemptions as to how he does the rest of the year. But I think you will see him play in, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 events, whatever the maximum number of sponsors exemptions he's allowed to get. I think you will see him get those, because his play, like you said, Russ, you know, he's one shot out of making this thing to the next stage. His play since he began playing again after the second heart transplant has been pretty good. So it's not like it's a complete charity case here allowing him to play in these events. I think he showed that he's got some game, and that certainly would justify some sponsor exemption. So I think the question becomes is, you know, is he going to be allowed to use a cart and those types
right.
of things? But I think you will see Eric play, especially early in 2009.
Absolutely. I agree with you, Pat. And just last week, he made the cut in the final PGA Tour event of the year. He did receive a sponsor's exemption into the season-ending Children's Miracle Network Classic in Orlando. He made the cut. He finished 60th in the field. So very impressive. So we know that he can play on that level. So it wouldn't be, quote-unquote, a waste to give Eric Compton a sponsor's exemption into a PGA Tour event. He's well worth that sponsor's exemption. He would likely make the cut in PGA Tour events next year. I agree with you. I would expect him to see to get 5, 6, maybe 7 sponsor's exemptions next year on the PGA Tour in 2009, and then, you know, round out his 2009 season with events on the Nationwide Tour, and perhaps he would win maybe an event or two on the Nationwide Tour and get himself into that top 25 number, which would get him an automatic tour card for 2010 on the PGA Tour. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. And it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.
All right, Russ, number two goes to you. As usual, just a couple weeks, really, after the FedEx Cup is completed, they need to tweak it again. Vijay Singh had a literal walk in the park the last day there at East Lake. All he had to do was remain upright and finish, and he was going to win, and he did that. And that does not lend itself to a lot of drama. So the PGA Tour, figuring again that they need to do something with this thing, have decided to cut the fields down from 144 to 125 in the first event, and going down in subsequent events thereafter, making points during the event worth 5 times what they were this year, and then also trying to reconfigure that last day so that all 30 players have a shot, mathematically anyway, to win the thing. My question to you, Russ, is this a good thing, or are we going to need further tweaking as we go along?
Well, I think actually they might have finally gotten it right, and this is not yet official, but this is kind of grumblings out of Ponte Vedra of what their people are hearing that the PGA Tour is planning on doing. And I think perhaps in the third time around, Pat, third time's the charm, they perhaps have finally gotten it right. Now, first of all, in regards to field size, I love the cut down from 144 to 125. 144 to me, you know, even though it's 12 squared, which is kind of cool, I never got the number. It was such an odd number to me, 144. Where did they come up with that number? 125 to me makes a lot more sense. You know, obviously, top 125 each year on the PGA Tour get their tour card for the following season. That seemed to me to be the perfect number. So start out with 125, in the first event, the Barclays, and then you cut that down to 90. after the after the Barclays to get into Deutsche Bank, and then from 90 you cut down to 60, and then from 60 you cut down to 30. So at every stop you're getting numbers that are smaller than the numbers that we've seen in the past, and I think that's good. That's a good thing that we're getting smaller numbers, because you know you should be cutting down to smaller numbers. And then the best thing that I like is the fact that the 30 players going to Eastlake for the Tour Championship, they will reconfigure the point system so that any one of those 30 players, if they win the Tour Championship, they can theoretically win the FedEx Cup. I think that's great. I think if this becomes, which most people think will become, the official FedEx Cup playoff format for 2009, I think this will be a format finally that will be one that they'll keep for years after 2009.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, the good news is they are continually tweaking this thing. They're not just sort of standing pat and saying this is going to work, you know, like the BCS is doing with the bowl games. They realize that this thing needs to be tweaked. As we're getting shot at here, right? Yeah. The entire kingdom.
The balloons are popping all over the place.
The balloons are popping. The wind is getting them. But I think at least the good news is they realize this thing needs to be fixed, and they are trying something to fix it. So we will see how that goes this year. But I like you said, at the very least, 30 guys last have a shot in that last event. That has to happen for it to have a true playoff feel.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760 on a very windy and chilly Sunday morning in West Palm Beach. We are broadcasting live today from the Tire Kingdom in West Palm on Jog Road, just south of Okeechobee Boulevard. Come by and see us. You're going to get hooked up with a free Tire Kingdom oil change. First five listeners that come by to this Tire Kingdom location in West Palm Beach, right on Jog Road, on the east side of Jog Road, just south of Okeechobee Boulevard, you're getting hooked up with a free oil change. So if you need your oil changed in your car or truck or SUV or minivan or economy car, how many different kind of cars are there? Sports coupe? If you need
sports
your oil changed, come by and see us here at the Tire Kingdom in West Palm Beach on Jog Road and Okeechobee. Right now we're in the midst of our PGA National Resort and Spa inside the rope segment, handful of hot topics in the world of golf. Patrick, topic number three. I've been waiting to talk about this all morning long. Michael Jordan, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, quite possibly the greatest basketball player in the history of the NBA. He has agreed to take part in the upcoming Golf Digest U.S. Open Challenge for 2009 at Bethpage Black. He will join Justin Timberlake and one other yet-to-be-named celebrity who will play along with a lucky winning amateur at the U.S. Open set up the week before the 2009 U.S. Open at Bethpage, just like Tony Romo and Timberlake and Matt Lauer played with lucky winner John Atkinson, 38-year-old insurance salesman and cancer survivor from the heartland of America. I think he was from Missouri, if I'm not mistaken. And we had him on the show last year, the week before the U.S. Open. So the question is, of course, the challenge: can these players break 100? So I ask you, can Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who is a self-proclaimed 2-handicap, not sure how much we believe that, can MJ break 100 next year at Bethpage?
Well, you're going to see if he's a 2-handicapper, because a 2-handicapper absolutely should be able to break 100, even though Bethpage, I think, is one of the more brutal open tests just because of its length. But you're going to be able to see if Michael Jordan truly is a 2-handicap, because he should be able to break 90, really. I mean,
if he's a two.
Now, if he shoots something like 110, Russ, I think the bloom's going to be off the rose with him in terms of, you know, people being like, hey, this guy was on Sports Illustrated cover as a golfer, I think, at one time. So, it's going to put a lot of pressure on him. Obviously, Jordan knows how to handle pressure.
Right.
This is a different type of arena for him, but he's played in that Tahoe thing, you know, multiple years. I don't know how he does in that thing.
Well, I was just going to say, he's never had a top 10 Lake Tahoe Celebrity Championship. And if you're a 2-handicap, guys like Rick Roden and Tony Romo and Dan Quinn, when you're a 2-handicap, you're vying for winning that thing every year.
Sure.
Listen, I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan in the world, but I've seen him play golf a number of times. He is not a 2-handicap. He's closer to a 6 or 7, which Justin Timberlake is. He is much closer to being the same skill level as a Justin Timberlake, who shot 99 last year at Torrey Pines, than he is of being a 2-handicap. Tony Romo is a 2-handicap. Tony Romo shot 84 last year at Torrey Pines. Michael Jordan, I think he will break 100, but I think he's going to be in the high 90s. I think he's going to shoot 96, 97, 98, 99, because he truthfully, he's more of a 6 or a 7 like Justin Timberlake than he is a 2 like a Tony Romo.
I agree with you. I think it's going to be above 9. I think the over-under should be 90 on
that. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classics. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf and topic number 4.
All right, Russ, it goes to you as normally. The International Golf Federation made a formal presentation in front of the International Olympic Committee this past Thursday in Switzerland aimed at getting the game of golf in the Olympic Games in 2016. The biggest question from the IOC was what competitive format will golf take if golf is an official sport. In other words, I think they're talking about a match play versus a stroke play.
Right.
My question to you, Rush, should golf be in the Olympics? Will it? And then what type of format will it take?
Well, I think golf should absolutely be in the Olympic Games. I think it will. I have a feeling that it will be one of the two sports that is admitted into the 2016 Olympic Games. Primarily, I think if Ty Votaw and the International Golf Federation can convince the IOC that Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Vijay Singh and Sergio Garcia, the biggest names in the world of golf, will be participating, because that is the biggest concern of the IOC. If they admit golf, they want to make sure that the biggest players in the world, and of course women's as well, we're not talking about just men, it would be women as well. Annika Sorenstam, well, Annika at that point will be pretty old, so I don't know that she'll be at the competitive level to be competing as one of the top players in the world, but Lorena Ochoa, Paula Kramer, Morgan Pressel. I think the format should be single play. I've heard possible two-man teams or two-woman teams, and apparently Golf Channel is reporting that the early favorite among the plans being considered is for calling for every country to be allowed two players into the Olympics, with one exception, that any country with more than two players in the world's top 10, and pretty much right now the America is the only country with two players in the world's top 10. Well, South Africa, I guess, as well, if you consider Ernie Els, although Retief is no longer in the top 10 anymore. Perhaps Australia, if Adam Scott and maybe Robert Allen. Well, Robert Allenby is number 11, I think, right now in the world, so right. Australia could be close to having two in the top 10. But as of right now, as the top 10 is configured currently on this day, November 16, 2008, I think the USA is the only country with two players in the world's top 10. But anyway, if you're a country that has more than two players in the world's top 10, then all those players in the top 10 are allowed to participate if they want to. But I think if you have two people from each country in the tournament, instead of teaming them up and having two-man teams, I think it's best to have single play, playing your own ball, playing for yourself, 72-hole stroke play tournament, just like a regular PGA Tour event. I think that's the best way to start this if we do it. I've heard match play as well, perhaps. Although you'd have to have a certain number. You'd have to have exactly 64 players or exactly 32 players or exactly 128 players, unless you're giving some players a bye in the first round, and I don't think that's right as well.
Well, I'm going to agree with you on this one, Russ. I think there's a couple things real quick. Golf used to be in the Olympics like 100 years ago, so there's no reason why it shouldn't be back in it, number
right.
one. I think the appeal of golf is worldwide, so unlike baseball or some other sort of specialized sports, I think the world will enjoy watching golf on the stage. I don't have a problem with the single guys initially, like a single tournament, but golf is like swimming or relay racing or these other, where you can have individual competitions and team competitions, I think, in the same format. Maybe you
right.
do a team thing the first week and an individual thing the second week, where you have like five-man team country, like they do in the NCAAs, where the whole school is represented by four or five guys, something like that. So I think initially maybe just a single competition, but at some point golf should be able to do team events too.
The six other sports, real quickly, and I'm already breaking my rule here in topic number 4, going over, the sounder, because Colin Holder has announced the sounder a couple minutes ago. The six other sports vying against golf: baseball, karate, roller sports, rugby, softball, and squash. Two of those seven.
None of that does anything.
Two of those seven will be in the 2016 games, and the IOC will announce their decision a year from now, October 2009. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. It's our PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Rope segment. Topic number 5, Patrick. Davis Love III last week shot an 8-under par 64 to win his first tournament in over 2 years. He was victorious at the Children's Miracle Network Classic at Disney World. His first win in over 2 years, his 20th career PGA Tour victory. So now DL3, 20 career PGA Tour victories, one of which is a major, the PGA Championship in 1997, I believe. And he also has two Players' Championship victories. So DL3, 20 career PGA Tour victories, one major, two Players' Championships, a number of President's Cup teams and Ryder Cup teams. Is Davis Love III a Hall of Famer, Pat?
I'm going to say yes, but this is close, Russ. This is a lot closer than I think people think. Davis Love has all the, and maybe it's a product of Davis Love's own failures in a way, because this guy has all the talent in the world to only win one major, and for his 20th victory to be the Children's Miracle Network Open 2 years after he won, you know, whatever else he won. I think we all expected more out of Davis Love, and maybe that's unfair to him. But he, to me, with the talent level that he had and the pedigree that he had with his dad and everything else, he kind of figured that maybe this guy was going to be a 40-win PGA Tour player. Nonetheless, I think with the one major, I think he's in. If he would have won two,
right,
I think that would have definitely solidified it. But this is closer than it probably should be with the amount of talent that Davis has.
I agree with you, Pat, because I think that he definitely kind of underachieved in his career. 20 victories and only one major, for me, is underachieving. And, you know, he should have won maybe, like you said, double, perhaps 40. I mean, that's a lot of wins. I mean, there's only, I think, 10 guys in the career of the PGA Tour that have won at least 40 times, maybe less than that. I know Phil Mickelson, I think, is 15th or 16th on the career wins list, and he only has 34 wins. And Vijay Singh has 31 or 32 career wins, and he's right there next to Phil, 15th or 16th. So 40 wins is a lot, but the one major, I think, is the biggest thing. He should have won more than once in a major. But I agree with you. I think he makes it kind of a photo finish, if you will. Davis Love III is a Hall of Famer kind of by the skin of his teeth with 20 career victories and one major. So that there it is, another award-winning edition. PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment.
Colin.
Nice job, Colin, with the sounder there. That was great timing as I end the segment here with the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. Handful of hot topics in the world of golf. We do it each and every week, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. If you think you're ready for the third toughest course on the PGA Tour, take one of golf's ultimate tests at PGA National Resort and Spa. Challenge yourself on a course that has hosted the Ryder Cup, the PGA Championship, and now the Honda Classic. Come and play at PGA National Resort and Spa. Visit PGAResort.com.